Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Hi, how are you? It's Friday. Show number 1283. Leave that music up, man. And we have one more show before the break. And I'll be returning on March 7th.
Really?
Okay. January 2nd? I don't think I'm available on the 2nd. I may come in the 3rd. No, January 2nd we'll be back. This is always a weird time of year. Because I like this job, so I don't necessarily, you know, need a 2-week break.
Here at Fifth Third Bank, we know Chicago wouldn't be Chicago without your business. That's why our team.
Hold this thought. Hold this. There we go.
Maybe you do need a break.
So.
Yeah, really.
Wrong button. Oh, man. What can I tell you? Wrong button. So here's the deal. I will be doing a show from my house for the next 10 days in my basement. It's not going to be hooked up to anything, not going to be plugged into a transmitter, but just so I don't have any withdrawals.
Kind of like a silent podcast.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Tell you what, why don't you guys stop playing stuff that's not on the air, and let's stick with the stuff that is on the air. President Trump will be calling in later this morning because, well, can't do anything about it. That's just what's going to happen. So he's the president.
Isn't he on vacation?
He's not yet. Right now he's driving the cabinet out of jobs.
Oh.
General Mattis is out. We'll talk about that a lot this morning. Well, not a lot, but we'll talk about it. Got the top six at six coming up in just a second. And also, Lou's first calls. This is a good time for you to dial in right now at 312-981-7200. Actually, nobody dials anymore.
No, that's true.
That's true.
That's, but you want to see that happen.
I do. I want a nostalgia phone.
Yeah.
So touch tones. Touch the numbers. It sounds weird, though, if I say touch in.
Yeah. Touch in.
Anyway, call this. 312-981-7200 if you want to be the first caller for Lou. Are we ready for the top six? Let's do it.
Oh, man. This is
got to say, this morning. There we go.
Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Todd Studio. Studio Todd. Get
your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one. General Mattis is leaving the Defense Department. Not good. General Mattis announced yesterday that the president needs someone who agrees with his policies and also is in line with his way of thinking and not someone who believes that we should do as we've done in regards to our relationships and our allies. This is the guy that was considered the leveler, the guy that would keep Trump between the white lines. And he will be gone by the end of February. By the end of February is a good thing because it's 8 weeks. Maybe 9 weeks, and, some good things could happen. But this is not a good development, and it's something that has pretty much everybody in Washington talking this morning, but people around the country need to be aware of it as well, and obviously us here. So more on that later. Next, February mayoral election highlights how complicated it can be to get on the ballot. Usually candidates with the most money can put a strong plan together. The signatures needed, but those petitions get challenged. You need 12,500 signatures to get on the ballot in the mayor's race. One of the highest amounts in the country. Now, I didn't know this. In the race for alderman, how many signatures do you think you need to be on the ballot for an alderman?
I think
12,500 for mayor.
I think it's six.
It's all just above six. 473.
That seems so random.
I would love to know why 473 is the number.
Why? Yeah, how is it?
I don't even know. David Miranda, are you sure somebody's not pranking you with that number?
Not at all.
Do you know why it's 473?
No, maybe it's some numerology.
Numerology, okay.
No, you know what? Yeah. It was 500, but yeah. Remember 45, how many people left?
45,000.
1,000 left Illinois. So juxtapose that and figure out that's how many people left.
Yes.
473.
Next.
Down by 27.
The owner and chairman of Floracraft says that the company Christmas party on Friday is going to be sharing nearly $4 million with full-time employees. That's just about the bonus we were given this year. Each gift will be based on how long the employee has been with the company. Those 40 years of service mean you will get a bonus check of $60,000.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That is great.
Floracraft has 200 employees. It's the world's leading manufacturer of foam products for goods sold to Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and Hobby Lobby, the packing stuff, I suppose.
Do they have any openings?
You're right. Can you get a job by tonight? That's pretty impressive. Now, even before I got here the first time in 2000, there used to be big Christmas parties, big Tribune Christmas parties.
Oh, yeah.
And on the yacht.
And at one point, I think they weren't combined, TV and radio were together?
Yes. We used to have big Christmas parties, at the Hyatt O'Hare, where they had a ballroom and they had ice sculptures and they gave away trips to Hawaii and all kinds of stuff.
All right, so here's the thing. This goes back to the 80s with Dave.
Yes.
But what is the biggest Christmas bonus you remember?
Well, let's see.
Because Christmas bonuses were a regular thing, and I know nobody gets them anymore, but I'm just curious what stands out.
I've never gotten a cash Christmas bonus. It's been, we used to get like Marshall Fields gift cards.
Right, right. Well, I got one of those. I got the last year of
that
those when
like
I got
the
here.
90s.
Those, and
2000 was the last year.
We used to get turkeys also. You get a coupon to go and get a turkey.
Oh, okay.
We used to get like WGN blankets. Remember the
were premium items. Yeah,
we got stuff like that.
But in terms of the closest thing to cash.
So nobody got $60,000 for 40 years of service?
Well, I'm sure there are people who did. I just wasn't one of them.
I was just thinking, our friend Marlene Wells, she would be eligible. She worked at Floracraft for $1.8 million.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, next. The House vote surprised a lot of Washington insiders. A partial federal government shutdown appears now closer than ever. The House approved $5.7 billion in funding for the president's proposed border wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. As that nonsense continues, the House bill now goes to the Senate, which has already approved a border security funding package. Doesn't include money for the wall. Here's the deal. There's not enough votes in the House to get this done. They could compromise. That Trump certainly doesn't seem like he's going to compromise. Or they can take the Senate bill, which was approved the other day, and take that up in the House, which they won't do because in the House, or the Senate bill, there's no money for the border wall. You see where this is going? The border wall's not going to get paid for. So the government will officially run out of money at midnight tonight, and thousands of employees won't know when they're going to get their next paycheck or get whole 4 days before Christmas. That's what's happening. By the way, Congress, this is Congress's fault, too. This has been going on for years. This went on when Obama was president. This goes all the way back to Bush, when they started doing these continuing resolutions as a regular way to fund the government. You think we had budget problems in Illinois? These 6, 8 to 10 week continuing resolutions, CRs as they're called, have been going on for years. Like the bare minimum, we should never even hear about this story. We should never even have to discuss the fact that the budget needs to be approved. It should just be part of the job. You walk in, you get a budget. Your Congress, ladies and gentlemen, next. And again, it's both parties. They're both disasters. The U.S. changed its policy today for asylum seekers at the border with Mexico. Under a deal between the U.S. and Mexico, asylum seekers will now have to remain in Mexico while they bring their case before the U.S. immigration judge. The Coalition for Humane Rights says staying in Mexico is not an option for many migrants fleeing violence in Central America. I think the Mexican government needs to step up here and provide safe haven while these asylum things are processed. So it doesn't seem like a terrible idea to me, as long as they're safe. And next, children under the age of two are going to be, these are new laws that are going to take effect in Illinois on January 1st. Children under the age of two are going to be required to be in a rear-facing car seat with weight and height exemptions. I thought that was already the case.
Yeah, I thought it was two. Go ahead, Mary.
I think it's younger than two. No. I can't remember.
So now the two is the two.
Yeah, now it's just raised up to two. Yeah, which is, oh my gosh.
Is this because we lost 450 or 45,000 people?
Yeah. Well, I actually had the Tahoe retrofitted with the driver's seat facing backwards.
Right, lightning.
Just to be safe. New law in Illinois, there'll be a 72-hour waiting period for all gun purchases. This closes the gun show loophole for purchases made by a non-resident. That's a great change, and I salute the legislature for getting it done. And school safety drills must be conducted within 90 days of the start of the school year. Seems good. Yeah, like in January. What have we forgot?
Yeah.
Nursing mothers will be exempt from jury duty. It's an interesting change, and that makes sense.
So I have an excuse.
And background checks will be required for every ride operator at carnivals.
Wait, what?
Okay. I'm not making that up.
That wasn't the case before.
Yeah, really? Yeah. They didn't have this before?
The guy at the Tilt-A-Whirl creeped you out for a reason. He never had a background check.
Way to push the envelope. That's pretty good.
That's your top 6 at 6. It's coming up at 6:30.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Good morning, Lou.
I have a problem. I have a question I have to ask you.
Yeah, I'm taking my first call. Lou, go ahead.
I'm on this website called eventbrite.com.
Yes, I've heard of it.
And I'm there, and I'm searching, like, all the New Year's Eve things you can go to.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I notice there's several of them that say, New Year's Eve, the sexiest room in Chicago. And I think you missed a whole marketing opportunity about different things to do, because then I go to your page where you have your 18th annual Steve Cochran New Year's Eve show, which will be Monday, December 31st at 7 p.m., which is kind of funny because most people would think it would be at midnight, but it's not.
No.
And it's at the beautiful Tivoli Theater, the Classic Cinemas, which is at 5021 Highland Avenue in Downers Grove. Downers Grove? Lovely this time
really
of year,
is
by
nice.
The way.
Yeah.
And it's got all this information. But I think that what you should have said is, with the sexiest room. I think that is the...
Sexy room. Put sexy room in there somewhere.
Like, maybe Steve Cochran and his band of funny people bring sexy back.
Yes.
Something like
that. All right,
that.
Just throw in the sexiest room as a location.
Right. And I'm looking at a bunch of these pictures here, and I see John DeCosta's got a picture with his face blocking a microphone.
So you think it's sexy.
Well, it works. It's kind of, you're not quite sure what he looks
That's
like.
That's what I'm talking kinda, about.
Right, he almost looks a little
Leave
like.
Leave a little to the imagination.
You know, he looks a little like, what's his name, from Tom Selleck without a mustache.
Oh.
And then this other guy, this Tim Benker, he's probably America's handsomest comic.
Well, the one thing you need to remember is, other than me, all of those promotional photos are from the 80s.
Did you not have one from the 80s?
Nah.
Because you could have said, and starring Curly, you could have put that on. Are tickets still available?
Tickets are available, and you can go to eventbrite.com, B-R-I-T-E, eventbrite.com.
You need to type in Steve Cochran, because a lot of the sexy room comes up.
Yeah.
And I think that the real prize is when you dig deep. You know, it's like back when you were a DJ, you know, sometimes.
I used to go to sexy rooms. Then.
Well, no, and then remember, you used to play all the hot hits, but then you go, here's a deep cut. Here's the flip side of Johnny B. Good on the 45.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, I actually never did that, but I'll go with it.
Do you remember what it was?
No
on
idea.
The flip side of Johnny B. Good?
No.
The song, the famous song, John DeCosta, remember.
I don't know.
The flip side of Johnny... Oh, my God, yes. That's right. That's very good, favorites. Lou.
My Ding-a-Ling used to be my walk-on music.
Once I was climbing the garden wall.
That's it. Well, let's get your first call on here. All sponsored by American Weathermakers.
What's the website one more time?
That'd be eventbrite.com.
Just making sure tech is
well, so thanks. Good. We haven't so had a chance move. To plug it at all this week.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't want to plug it yourself. It
no.
makes you look small.
Yeah, exactly. Raymond's in Hampshire. Raymond, what's your problem for Lou?
Hi, Lou. My question is, I have some drafty doors in my house. I know they have, like, the draft blockers that you can lay down in front of the door. The problem is, then as soon as I open the door and leave the house, I can't put the draft blocker back. So is there some sort of device that I can screw to the bottom of the door to help with drafts? That way when I
what
close
a good
the door,
question.
Yeah, no, and question. You know, the thing is, what you're talking about, eliminating the drafts in the home is the best way to improve your comfort and energy efficiency. You can go to the hardware store, and they will have a bunch of what they call door sweeps. And there are some that are self-adhesive. They just don't last all season long. Look for the ones, the manufacturer is MD, which stands for Mecklenburg Duncan. And it's an aluminum strip with little bitty screws, and it comes in different lengths that you can cut with a pair of tin snips to custom fit the bottom of your door. With the door closed, You'll need a little drill because pre-drilling in the bottom is really important. Set that door sweep on the inside, pre-drill a couple little holes, use the screws that they give you, which you're going to need a number one Phillips screwdriver.
Okay.
And screw that in, and then you're good to go. And then around the door, if you've got drafty doors as well, there's a terrific door weather stripping kit that MD also sells, and it's called Cinch. That is an adhesive version. It's aluminum with a gasket with the door closed and locked. You place this, those same tin snips to cut to length, the top header piece and then the two verticals. Push that snugly against the door and then just stick it. And you can do it down to 35 degrees and it'll stick.
It's okay. a good plan.
Yeah, it's a great plan.
Thank you. Hold on, because I have prizes for you. And, Lou, I got a bunch of questions about those slipper socks you mentioned last week.
Yes.
What are they called again?
Poodoos.
Poodoos.
P-U-D-U-S, which is a type of cute little deer. And your local Ace Hardware store has those as a last-minute gift. They're super comfortable, and they come in women's sizes 5 to 10. I know John DeCuss has tiny little feet. He could wear them.
Yes. He's dainty.
He's dainty. Dainty.
And when you walk into a store, where would you find those? Paint? Hardware?
Actually, at our store, they're near the paint department. They're hanging on to what they call an end cap side basket. It's called a sidecar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at you dropping your retail.
Telling you.
Dave, you have a question?
Well, I do. Do I have time?
Yeah.
Hi, Lou.
No, we're way late.
Go ahead. I haven't talked to Dave in a long time.
Yeah, I know. I've missed you.
Happy holidays, Dave.
Happy holidays to you. All right, so I somehow unprogrammed my garage door remotes.
No.
I think I do because I was trying to program my wife's car into the anyway. So now I hit the learn button on the opener.
Right.
I replaced the batteries in the remote.
Right.
Nothing.
Okay, so two things you have to check. The button that you have on the wall, there's a lock button. Make sure that's not depressed.
Okay.
Because if that lock button is there, it will not reprogram. And then your remote shouldn't lose that program because it's a rolling code. But hit the learn button. It depends on the year of the unit, but sometimes you have to push the button two times and then hold it. You hold the button until the light blinks.
Hold the button on the learn button.
On the remote. Button.
Oh, on the remote.
You have 30 seconds on the learn button.
Right.
You hit the thing, click the button on the remote two times, and then hold it until the light of the opener blinks.
Got it.
Thank All right.
You. Thank you. You're the best.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
And as always...
What's the website?
That'd be eventbrite.com. But as always, it's much easier if Lou just comes to your house.
Sure. Yes, wearing my poodoos.
It's a hot look for you.
It is.
Merry Christmas, buddy. I'll
you
talk to you in a couple
everybody
weeks.
As well. Be well.
All right, thanks. That's Lou Manfredini, and we need a break, right? We'll come back. No break? Straight to news? We're going straight to news right now. That's my point. I wish you guys would listen. This one is sponsored by... Eventbrite.com at B-R-I-T-E, and all of this sponsored by American Weather Makers. And there's Dave Schwann.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time. I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh, it's business. It's business.
Samberg, Justin, and Pete, and they're all on vacation somewhere. And Dave's here. Mary is here. Mary Vanderbilt. I'm Steve Cochran, and this is your CEO Spotlight, which the spotlight and the download on Chicago business is an important thing because we like to teach you a little bit about business by talking to people who are getting it done. Jim Schultz is here. Jim, what's the name of your business?
Midwest Laundry, Steve.
And what were you doing before you did this?
Going to school.
So you jumped right in.
I did. Hopped in pretty quickly after I got out of college.
And what does the business do?
We are a commercial distributor of laundry equipment. So basically any piece of laundry equipment that is not one in your home, we sell it anywhere from...
laundromats all over, you're the guy.
Yep, coin-operated machines for apartments, healthcare, hospitality, all that kind of thing. And also, yes, coin laundromats, right?
All right, so when you're a little boy and you're growing up, you weren't thinking, man, someday I'm going to be the king of laundry.
No, I was definitely not. But I can say growing up, I did... have a idea that I did want to be in business for
myself.
Wanted
your own business.
Wanted to do my own thing since as long as I can remember.
Sure.
And it's really not about finding, I guess, a specific industry. I mean, it's great if you can have a passion for the industry, but I have a passion for running my own company, and I've always had a good time doing it.
So. Well, that's something I think is important for people to hear, because there's a lot of people that don't know what they want to do. They know they want to do something in business, and you're saying dive in.
Yeah, jump in. Again, you don't have to find something. Again, of course, it's great if you can find something, an industry you truly love. Do I have a burning passion for laundry machines? Probably not. But
Sandberg does.
I've heard that before. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But I do have a passion for my employees, for my company, what we've been able to build together over the last 11 years. I have a great team, and it's just something you jump in and you really get into it.
But what is the for someone who is not in business, right, and is currently sponging off this company, what is the process if this is not something that you get up in the morning and you go, oh, I can't wait to get involved with laundry? What's the thing about the passion that you have for the business? How do you make that transition? How do you run a business that you don't eat, sleep, and dream about? Obviously, you do the business, right, but how do you stay passionate about something that's not your life's work necessarily?
I think it's finding a passion in the people that are with you on the ride. I take a lot of pride in the team that we have put together and how we're able to create a kind of a family around that.
But there's a learning curve too, right? Because you have to learn the business you're in.
Yeah, for sure. I had a little bit of background in the business before I started doing this, so I understood that. I didn't have any machinery background, but I did have some sort of a little bit of sales background.
Okay.
In a way. So I was able to kind of transition that to what we have going on today. So
it's got to be incredibly busy. I mean, you know, honestly, I told you this in the hallway when I met you months ago. It's something I never thought about. But every commercial business that has laundry machines, they're going to break down.
Right.
They're going to need parts.
Yep.
You're kind of in a foolproof situation here.
Yeah, we really have recession-resistant industry. At some point, no matter how slow a business is, they do need our services.
Right.
If a hotel can be slower, but they're never not going to do laundry. A restaurant can be slower. They're never not going to launder their table linens, you'd hope. So everybody needs that. We do, again, a lot of multifamily buildings and things like that. So people are always going to need to do laundry, and so we're able to provide that.
I'm talking to Jim Schultz, Midwest Laundries. John, what did you want to ask?
I was going to say, go back 11 years ago. You say you don't have a passion for it, but how do you end up doing it? How does that fall into your lap? Why choose that?
I had my family had been involved in the coin laundry industry, so I had a little bit of experience through my college years being around the business. And, I was able to it kind of fell in my lap, as you said, but I really think it was finding... You know, if you're looking to start a business, or as you said, Steve, you know, you say, hey, just jump in. It's really about, I think, finding a void in a market, any market, whether you have a product or a service. It's looking at a market and saying, how can I do better? And kind of back then, I looked at it and said, you know, hey, there's really not any. We started actually with all used equipment. We were a used equipment distributor. Exclusively for about 3 or 4 years, and I looked at it and I said, you know what, there's really kind of a void here. There was nobody that was reputably selling this type of machinery, and that's when we that's when I said, you know, jump in and put a team together.
Am I right about this? You started this with a pal?
No,
this is just you.
Yeah, and pretty soon after, my sister came on board.
Oh, it was your sister. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right.
She came on board.
Is this a great way to break up a family by being in business together?
No. We all still get along quite well. So
it's good. You actually have quality time with your family.
Yeah, it's great. We still see each other usually family dinner once a week and all that. So, you know, like anything, you know, you have your disagreements, and She's probably listening now, chuckling about that.
As so, your family, do you do the wash together? I mean, is that mandatory?
No.
You do laundry right after dinner?
You know what? I think that would probably break it apart. that would be it.
I wonder if this, but you know, we talk about this, like if you own a restaurant that makes hamburgers, you don't want to go home and make the hamburger. When was the last time you did laundry at your house?
maybe Saturday.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, I do the laundry. I even sometimes go to the laundromat, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to sit in the basement for that long. I mean,
I didn't think it's a cool story. I think it's a cool story because, again, it's a business you don't think of. It's not some business where you have to have an app or you need a bunch of code writers in the back of the room. This is a good American business that everybody on some level is going to need in their life at some point.
Yeah, we all obviously have laundry or stay in hotels, as I said, or you know, use a hospital or a healthcare facility. So, yeah, at some point... Yeah, we're needed.
What kind of growth are we talking about over 11 years? Like when you started, how many employees?
One part-time, and I was actually kind of part-time for the first 6 months. I wasn't doing it completely. Now there's 12 of us. Our brother jumped on board last year, so he's become our operations director. And, yeah, so 12 of us, we're seeing pretty good growth. Actually, this year has been... our best years thus far, so about 20 plus percent. So
hopefully
that continues.
That's a great number.
It's been good.
Congrats on the success.
Thank you very much, Steve.
One piece of advice for a small business owner that you think they ought to know?
I think you just can't stop. You have to keep going. There's always going to be a lot of adversity. There really is. It's never going to be an easy road, especially at the beginning. But if you're the kind of person that really doesn't stop and take no for an answer, I think you can do pretty well for yourself.
That's great. Yeah. And it's a business that you can keep in your family forever.
You can.
Your four-year-old not working yet in the company?
No. She's, you know, I'm trying to get her to work on these machines, but she just, her dexterity.
Just needs to be a little taller.
Yeah. It's not working out yet, but hopefully she'll start pulling her weight soon.
Well, I hope you have a great Christmas.
Thank you.
Congrats on the success. And for, you know, listen, there's people going to work now thinking about whatever service they might need. What would they do to get a hold of you?
Check us out at MidwestLaundries.com or stop by. We're right in the Brighton Park neighborhood. We have a equipment showroom for people or business owners that are looking to see what we do.
Be cool if I got Sandberg a commercial machine that's coin operated at her house.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah.
She's going nuts.
I'll give you the key.
Greatest
you get a retirement plan for
right?
You.
Yeah.
I think so.
Imagine the money I'd make.
Tons.
thanks again, my friend Jim Schultz. Again, it's Midwest Laundries. It's a good story, and we bring it to you on the Download for Chicago Business. Dave.
Responsive, timely, efficient,
Hello. Let's try that again, Dave. Okay. I just turned your microphone on.
Responsive, timely, efficient. Are those words you use to describe your bank? If not, it's time to get to know Signature Bank, Chicago's business bank. Signature Bank is more than just a bank. They are a true partner for your business. Founded by three entrepreneurial-minded Chicagoans, Mick O'Rourke, Kevin Bestuga, and Brian Duncan, Signature Bank helps homegrown Chicago companies develop and thrive. Working with business owners in neighborhoods all across the city and suburbs, from Wrigleyville to South Shore to the city's west side, Signature Bank helps make Chicago a city that works. At Signature Bank, the decision-making is local, the staff is consistent, and the service is outstanding. With their robust technology, you can make deposits, track your accounts, and pay bills from anywhere. Take it from customers who bank with them. American Banker named Signature Bank one of America's best banks to work for. Turn your business vision into reality. Call 773-467-5600 or visit signaturebank.bank today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's Christmas. Baby, please come home.
Coming up, Dan Hampton. Did I mention the president's calling? President Trump's going to call the show after 7 o'clock. We got a cool MVPP today, and Dean later, of course. Well, yesterday, I saw Dean. John, you and I were both out at Channel 9 yesterday.
Yeah.
We saw the world-famous Mike Toomey.
Mike Toomey? Yes,
and,
I sat in the booth with him.
Dean, and I had a meeting with Paul Rennie where he told me to not do what I'm doing and to do something else.
No, that's not what he said.
But, you know, it's always nice to go over to TV and steal things.
Yeah. I got a sweatshirt.
Yeah. I went through your stuff, Dave, over at TV.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be
yeah.
there tomorrow night, so I'll see what you took.
Pretty much empty.
Is Dave using his makeup bag? Is Northwestern?
And I haven't taken it over there yet.
Oh.
But
what are you waiting for?
Well, I'll take it with me tomorrow.
Dan Hampton at 740 on the Bears. We got a Hawker riddle for Hawks tickets today. Hawks playing better, as you said.
They are. They are.
They looked good last night again. My friend Ann Johnso Slater, her book, Big Thoughts from Little Brains, Potty Mouthed, good thing to pick up for Christmas. And Lauren Cohn's going to come in. Lauren Cohn, she was on John Cass for a while over at LS, and we like Lauren, and she's going to come in and sit in on the show for a bit. So, and
can
then we're going to leave.
Can we stay?
No, you're both going to leave.
Are we gone?
Yeah, you're both going to have to leave.
Wow.
I got brain fog today. Anybody else?
No. I'm actually good.
You know when you wake up? You wake up, you sometimes have brain fog?
Yeah.
I got some serious brain fog going on.
Are we playing bowl or no bowl?
We are. That's right. Yes, we're going to play bowl or no bowl again as well.
Yes.
That's where Dave and John name a bowl, and you have to tell us if it's an actual college football bowl or not a bowl at all. But I just found this, and I'm going to need one of you guys to run out and get this for me.
Sure.
See, a great way to get rid of brain fog is sniff rosemary. Now, rosemary, of course, is not a person. Preliminary study suggests the scent of rosemary essential oil can boost performance on mental tasks. I place great value on home remedies, so goes the quote from a doctor. Encourage people to try them as long as there's no evidence they'll do harm. I need rosemary.
Can we?
I just threw my rosemary away.
Oh!
I was cleaning out my spice thing, and it was, expired.
Is that different than an essential oil? I don't think I sniffed the spice, do I?
I have Simon and Garfunkel's Rosemary and Thyme, if that helps.
It's the closest. The
parsley and sage?
Yes. Yeah.
Will the parsley and sage mess you up?
I could run over and get some. They might have it in the Pedway.
They have everything in the Pedway.
Right.
They must have a rosemary essential oil store.
Pick up my cleaner.
And pick up your cleaning
Rosemary's
as well.
Rosemary's
R Us. Okay. Stand by. President Trump coming up. Hopefully. But first at 7 o'clock, we got to do one more break, and then we'll come back with your news next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, David Miranda, you got to explain this one to me. Why Alice Cooper schools out?
Everybody's thinking vacation mode already.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, it's first day of winter.
Yeah, people. Okay. Yeah. Find me some Christmas music, will you? Give me a little Eagles. Give me a little, what else do we want to hear? Dave, we want Springsteen. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks, Silent Night. Come on. Yeah.
Well, I'll do Christmas carols in a little bit then.
Yeah, no, we're not looking for you to sing these. We're actually looking for you to find these. John, you have one?
But I'm old school, so Andy Williams. I'll go Andy Williams. Do you want me to just sing one?
Would you like the Letterman as well?
Yes.
Andrews?
McGuire sisters?
I said, was there an Andrews sister?
There were Andrews sisters, okay. Yeah. That would actually be pretty good.
All right, so the president's on the phone. Any votes on whether I pick this up?
I think you will.
I have to.
What kind of ringtone do we have today?
Actually, I answered it while we were in the break.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's on hold?
He's on hold listening right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Cochran. I noticed your regular producer, Mary's not there. Did she quit?
Well, no.
I know what that's all about.
Yes, that's exactly right. Of course
you do. The girl I just talked to, she's like your Mick Mulvaney.
That's right. Moving up in a chair. Big gig.
I just want to let you know, Cochran, I'm being inclusive this holiday season. Okay.
How's that?
So I'd like to wish all your Jewish, Muslim, and Buddhist listeners a very Merry Christmas as well.
Well, that's very nice, actually.
And to my African-American friends, here's hoping you have a happy Dikembe Mutombo.
I don't. It's not actually a holiday. Mr. President, things are really chaotic right now for you. It's been a crazy week, and now your Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, you quit yesterday, going to be gone by the end of February. What are you going to do next?
You know what? I'll tell you what I'm not going to do next. Buy Mattis a Christmas gift. He's off the list, and I'm off the hook. Just like breaking up with your girlfriend before the holidays. Look, good riddance to General Mad Dog Mattis.
What do you mean?
He said, we got so many tremendous generals lined up, ready to step in and take his place. I mean, they're totally lined up. General Mills is here, General Hospital, General Admission, General Sal's Chicken. Very qualified generals, believe me.
We really need to talk off the air. Your former National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn, supposed to get sentenced this week. And that's just one of your stress points. But then the judge delayed it. Now, what do you make of that?
Well, I will tell you, Flynn's lawyer is an absolute genius. Genius. I mean, who knew that all you had to do was just ask the judge if he wouldn't mind not sentencing you? Boom. Done. So simple. So simple. Bill Cosby's totally kicking himself he didn't try this.
Well, nobody saw it coming. Listen, we heard your charity, the Trump Foundation, got dissolved by the Attorney General in the state of New York, citing some sort of illegality on your part. What's your comment on that?
You know what? Very unfair and very sad. I mean, where else are you going to find another great charity that does such tremendous work with overprivileged kids? You're not going to find it. And it's doubly sad because I really wanted to squeeze out one more tax deduction before the end of the year.
All right. Now, look, Congress is in the midst of a crisis this afternoon, going into tonight. Are we going to have a government shutdown? Are we not going to have a government shutdown? I mean, what's happening?
Look, that's up to them, okay? I have no idea what they'll ultimately decide. But the great news about the government shutdown, it will not include shutting down the North Pole. So no worries there. Business as usual for Santa. You're welcome, Chicagoland.
Yeah, thanks. It's appreciated. Are you looking forward to Christmas?
Are you kidding? I want to be in Mar-a-Lago 6 weeks ago. In fact, last night, Vice President Pence and I got caught under the mistletoe together by accident. Yeah, and I will tell you, it was the most awkward French kiss of my entire life.
Nothing that I know is wrong has ever felt so right, sir.
Please go away, Mike.
So, President Trump, where are you on holiday shopping? Did you get Christmas gifts for the staff?
Oh, yes, tremendous gifts. You know, for Jared Kushner, I got him this really nice coffee mug that says World's Luckiest Son-in-Law, and it has a picture of Ivanka and a baby doll 90. Oh, when you pour the hot coffee in it, the 90 disappears.
That's
pretty
not
funny.
Even appropriate. What about Sarah Huckabee and the rest?
Well, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I'm getting her some eyebrow relaxer.
Seems right.
Very practical gift. And Rudy Giuliani's getting some duct tape for those Sunday talk shows.
Seems right, yeah.
Let's see, I'm getting my advisor, Kellyanne Conway, a divorce attorney. I mean, seriously, that husband of hers, two words, dead weight. And I'm even reaching across the aisle to get Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, a gorgeous box of Godiva chocolate wampum coins. They're incredibly delicious. And she could use them at the slots in the casino.
It's not a thing. Well, in some ways, though, some of those gifts are thoughtful.
Doctrine, yeah. Before I go, would you mind? I wrote a little Christmas poem for you. Do you mind if
wait
I read
minute,
it?
Wait a minute, you wrote a poem for me?
I got a little poem for you.
I got to reconsider
poem.
How I feel about you. All right, okay, would you do the poem?
All right, here we go. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the White House, not a creature was stirring, not even my Slovenian spouse. Dear Melania was nestled all snug in her bed, but I stayed up tweeting, stock market sad, I blame the Fed. And with my big hands and the night very cold, I went to the White House kitchen to eat a taco bowl.
So
they're delicious.
Yeah.
So with all the investigations and many an accuser, if you need me, I'll be golfing. Merry Christmas, later loser.
That's really, wow.
Very sentimental.
Really touching. I choked up a little bit. Or maybe that's a gag reflex. Thank you, President Trump, for calling the show. What a sweet poem. It's 7:19. The most valuable person on the planet still to come. Dave Schwann, what do you have at 7:30?
Bells will be ringing.
Part of me wishes I didn't know the lyrics.
Choirs will be singing silent night.
It's one from yesterday, I know.
Christmas carol back in the light.
All right, sing along in your car.
Please come home for Christmas. Please come home for Christmas.
Not for Christmas?
If not for Christmas.
Come to the Tivoli.
By New Year's night.
I love that song. 7:25. Time for the most valuable person on the planet. And this one's easy. Maggie Kramer's on the phone. Friends with John DeCoste, I guess, huh?
Yes, her granddaughter, Laura, who I know, as you know, I'm big in Ohio.
Yes.
Laura, I've known for a long time, and she told me the story about Maggie, and this just worked out. It's a great MVP.
Maggie, and correct me if I'm wrong, Maggie falls in love with a soldier from Chicago. She ends up coming here, and she has I'm not quite sure the terminology or how to put this. She's the first war bride from England to have a baby in Chicago. I think that's right.
That's correct.
All right, let's go to Maggie now, and she can fill in the blanks. Maggie, am I right about that so far?
Yes, you are. You're absolutely correct.
Well, Merry Christmas. Where were you from in England?
I'm from London.
You fall in love with this American. What is that fella's name?
My husband's name was Edward Kramer.
What was it about him that swept you off your feet?
Well, you know what? We were both young, and the war was over at that time when we finally got married. So it was just good times.
It's, of course it was. It's just it's just a very courageous thing to do. And people do it all the time. I get it. I know. But I just want you to know I'm very impressed. A young girl picks up, comes here, and starts her life, here in a completely foreign country, and at a time when the world was changing so rapidly, too. Were you scared or excited or both?
Do you know, I was both. Even when I left England on the train with all the rest of the brides, we had to go to Tidworth to be all checked out and have a medical and et cetera, et cetera. Did not realize until we got on the train and we were pulling out, and it was like, oh, my God. I'm leaving. I'm actually leaving.
Right.
Everybody, my home, my family, my friends, everything.
How long did it take you to love Chicago?
I don't know. I love Chicago. Right. It's one of the greatest places. I could never go anywhere. My children have always said to me, Mom, it's time to leave. Time for you to get out of here. But I can't.
Well, they want you to go somewhere warm and just enjoy your life?
Yeah, they just want me to go and well, come on, let's be honest. I love Chicago, but right now Chicago is a little bit tougher to live in.
Yeah, today's the first day of winter. Now, you are, you sound amazingly healthy. I know you're 90 years young, but you sound...
I'm 91.
Oh, 91. Well, I didn't want to shortchange you. But you sound fabulous. How do you feel?
I feel great. I feel great, except I do walk with a cane. I have trouble getting around, a little bit around, but I did get my driver's license, so I'm still driving.
I'm wondering if you walk with a cane just so you can do a little song and dance act.
Oh, heck. Oh, I could do my dancing. I'm a person.
One of the coolest parts of your story, I think, is your commitment to veterans, because I know you still help raise money for vets through the American Legion, right?
Right, right.
What do you do?
Well, we raise money for the veterans because... People don't realize that we have so many veterans in nursing homes.
Sure.
But, you know, and they need things because a lot of them come from out of state. Like we have Mantino down here.
Yep.
In here. And we've got over 300 men there. And now I think they have like 18 women in there also now. But sometimes there's no people for them if they need something extra like toothpaste, shaving cream, or anything like that, or clean, or new pair of socks, or a pair of t-shirt.
Sure.
So we supply them. We get big everything together for them. We whatever they need, we take it. We take them. Like I said, we white tee socks, white t-shirts, and anything that they need that
sure.
they can't get out to get.
Right, and you have to have money to buy those things and to bring those
That's
things
right.
in. So you sell flowers?
Well, we don't sell. We sell the poppies, and whatever we make on the poppies can only be used for the veterans. So however we need the money, that's how we use it. And we also get together, and we once a year I go around to all the nursing homes in this area.
Wow.
And I take them a little envelope with a few dollars in so they can buy themselves a can of pop or a candy
wow.
bar or whatever. And then I buy them chocolate. And I also buy diabetic chocolate for them
sure.
if they can't eat the regular.
Sure. You're a good woman. You know that?
That's amazing.
Well, I try. I love to do it.
Yeah.
I love to do it.
You know, in 2014, I was in London with my family, and they were celebrating ahead of the centennial of World War One.
Uh-huh.
And the field of poppies, ceremonial poppies, was around the Tower of London. And it's just one of the most beautiful things you'd ever see. And this year... it was the 100th anniversary of World War One, and the poppies were the ceremonial flower. And it's just very, very, very well done and very emotional and very patriotic. Well, you sound like, listen, I know you're a good Brit, but you sound like you're a good American.
I am. I said, I'm probably more American than an American himself, because I do what I have to do, what I feel like I have to do.
Sure. Well, God bless you, and thank you for the help for the vets, but you really made my day just talking to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, hold the line for us, Maggie, if you would. How about that?
Okay. Isn't that great?
How about that?
Isn't that great? She's something else, 91.
I sure changed her there, didn't I?
Well, she was 90. I wrote it, but I'm glad, you know, how would you, she still goes to the retirement homes.
It's amazing.
You know, that's.
And she
just
likes making people happy.
Yeah. You can't. That's wonderful.
Sounds like she's a better dancer than me, too.
I think so. Yeah. So, Maggie.
Well, I'm glad you found her. She's something else.
Dancing keeps you healthy.
That's right.
I'm telling you, Mary Vanderbilt, you know me, and you're the same way. I'm a sucker for little kids and older folks.
Yeah.
And she's got the spirit of a little kid. She was great.
So good.
Good call. Most valuable person on the planet. That's Maggie Kramer. Steve Cochran Show continues next. Dave will be in the newsroom. This is 720 WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
The Hall of Famer, sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago.com. And again, Merry Christmas to Mike Hillstrom and all the Chevy dealers as well, and the Hillstrom family and all of them. And Dan Hampton's with us now. Morning, Hamp.
Hey, you know, I really appreciate you saying the best of the Christmas holidays to all of our friends in the Chevy world. Of course, Mike Hillstrom and, Jerry Haggerty, Casey Wicksum, John Averovich, all of them. Hey, they've been great to you and I, and we love them. And, all the folks that have Chevys, I know they feel like they're the special elves this Christmas
That's
season.
Right. Get one for you if you don't already have it. The Ray and Raymond Chevrolet folks as well. They're all good. All right, so the 49ers are coming in. Before we talk about this weekend, and there's a lot of good games in the NFL, give me one 49er Bears memory from your career.
You know, there was a lot of good ones, a lot of bad ones. You know, anytime somebody brings up the name of Joe Montana, I have an ugly look on my face. They say, "Why, you don't like him?" I said, "He kept me from two Super Bowls." Mm-hmm. So think about that. Mm-hmm. 84, they beat us in the championship game, and then 88, right here in Soldier Field. So obviously, you know, there were some bad sides to the matchup, but hey, you know, it was a glorious win in 85, going out there beating them. But I do remember the one game that may live in infamy. It was a Monday night game, and it was I think the end of 89 or 88, or I can't remember. But anyway, we go out there and we really don't have. I mean, we've already won the division, and almost very similar to this game in the sense that, you know, we don't really have the prize that we got to run and strive for. And, well, they beat us pretty good. And I remember Ditka throwing his gum at this wicked witch, old lady in the stands that was screaming at Ditka saying, "Ditka, you suck." You know? It was almost like a Comedy Central show being filmed while the game was going on.
Dave, did you cover that game?
I was on the radio crew at the time, and it was 41-0, I think. And
you didn't have to tell that part of the story.
No, I'm sorry, but hey, facts are facts. And the other part of that was,
hey, Anna, you don't have to tell everything you know.
And here's the other part. I think we got snowed in. We got stuck in San Francisco. Couldn't get out because of a snowstorm at home. So not only do you lose big in the game, but then you don't get back till late the next day.
The worst part of that story would be if the crazy lady was at baggage claim with you.
Yes, that would be. Yeah.
That would have been really terrible. Why was Montana so good? Look, I grew up on Montana, and I watched you chase him around and get him. Montana reminds me, and tell me if I'm nuts, Montana reminds me of Tom Brady. He's not speedy. He's not the world's greatest athlete, but he was just born to play quarterback.
You know, the one word, accuracy. And that's the one thing that, you know, we've got a little quarterback, got a lot of talent, but he struggles with accuracy. And by the way, you know, Chicagoland, the version of the three wise men, me, OB, and Todd, we're going to be on 1-3 this week.
Yes.
That's pregame. The game starts at 3. We're in San Francisco this week, folks, so it's 1-3. It'll be a pregame.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about this. But as OB loves to say, you can teach a lot of stuff, but you can't teach accuracy. And, you know, rather than them worry about him, you know, his technique sliding and this, this young man needs to get better throwing the ball with accuracy. And that's the one thing that Montana had. He, you know, and you hear some people, and I think Troy Aikman uses this euphemism a lot, which is he can put it on you. In other words, he threw the ball where you could catch it.
Right.
And avoid the interception, avoid the bat down, avoid the, you know, the incompletion. He could put it on people, and that's what you got to do. And, you know, last week, the biggest play in the game for the offense, it was a horrible throw by the quarterback, and yet Tariq Cohen was so good, he was able to stop, turn around, catch it behind him, and then reverse his field and go and score a touchdown. So, you know, that's that's like the hidden hand. He was very inaccurate, but somebody bailed him out. Sooner or later, he's, you know, we're not going to be able to do that every play, so he's got to get better at that one thing that Joe Montana was really good at. And by the way, he had some pretty good players around him.
Yeah, he did.
Jerry Rice comes to mind.
Yeah, he was okay. The cover story at NFL.com this morning is ranking the young quarterbacks of the last four drafts. Not surprisingly, Patrick Mahomes is number one. See who's missing here. Followed by Baker Mayfield, Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Dak Prescott, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. You see where the pattern is? Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson, and number 12, Mitchell Trubisky. Now, here's the upside to that. You got a lot of room to improve.
Yeah. And you know, and again, suffice to say, we get a lot of people in the post game saying, "Oh, you guys are haters. You're no, we want this kid to hit the top five. You know, that'd be great.
That would be great.
For our organization. And Sam Darnold, by the way, we saw him this year. I wasn't impressed. But all that being said, this kid's got a long way to go. And you're right. The ceiling room of improvement, let's just say this, it's more than what you would think when you have a general manager trade up in the draft from 3 to 2 and give away a second and a third to move up one spot to get this kid, and you see two other quarterbacks that were way down, you know, in the first round, what I think 8 and 10 picks in the first round that you could have traded down to get that are on this list above him, Deshaun Watson and, of course, you know, Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, and I know you do, Steve, but as I said, the wise man, you know, we were trying to tell you a year ago about this Patrick Mahomes, and I'm telling you, this kid, I see it manifested all across the league. Guys, you know, older quarterbacks, younger quarterbacks, they're all trying to be Mahomes. They're trying to run and jump and do the, you know, and try to be cute, clever, and you know, be this young dynamic quarterback. It may bite a bunch of them in the butt, but I'm telling you, this kid, he's taking the league by storm. I haven't seen a player like this in a long time.
And let's talk, Hamp, about the guy the Bears will see in Nick Mullins, who's been kind of really one of the nice stories this year in the NFL. A kid who wasn't drafted out of Brett Favre's alma mater, Southern Mississippi, and forced in because of injuries at the quarterback position in San Francisco. And he's won the last two games, and he's played well for him.
It's, you know, these are the stories that you know, you just look around the NFL and go, wow, this is amazing. This kid, and it's not like, you know, he's throwing for 120 yards a game. He's averaging about 340 or something the last three in those wins. And you beat Denver when Denver is on a playoff drive. That's a pretty good deal. And then you beat Seattle when Seattle's on a playoff drive. That's not like beating the Giants, right? That has nothing to play for. So, you know, I just, again, and we're going to talk about this in the pregame. You know, the Bears are in great position going into the playoffs. We've got certain things that we've accomplished, but there's yet, you know, things that we can tangibly achieve that will help us. Now, this is a game, and, you know, I just hope we prepare for this like, you know, we want to win it. And you and I both know, Dave, that a lot of times the Bears, you know, almost want to seem to take a week off with us. We did it 3 weeks ago in New York. We just did not look like the same football team, and it cost us. I hope we're mentally prepared to play this one. But let's think about this. We had a huge game on Sunday night against the Rams. We won. Yay. Then we had, you know, to beat the Wicked Witch last week. We beat the Packers. Yay. Now we've got to beat the Vikings in the season finale in Minnesota. I hope we're not looking through this at that game and we're letting the 49ers creep up on us, because they've had a lot of high draft picks. This Buckner, this big defensive end, I thought he was the best player in the draft 2 years ago. So we're going to get a full dose of him come Sunday.
John DeCuss and Dave, one more from each one of you. John?
Hey, Dan. Real quick, you know, the San Francisco 49ers took Solomon Thomas after the Bears took Mitchell Trubisky, who, and Solomon technically, basically, has been a bust. And then I think we've got three All-Pros out of that draft. So do you think San Francisco would have taken Trubisky, or were they had their sights set on Solomon Thomas from the get-go?
Well, you know, everybody's got a story after the dance is over, right? Well, the story is never going to take him anyway. And this whole, you know, trade-up, you know, bonanza of the draft picks from the Bears is just icing on the cake. You know, again, you know, a lot of general managers, they want to build a team a certain way. And Jim Finks wanted to build his teams a long time ago with, you know, great offense and defensive linemen. And that's what they were trying to do. And then they went and got Garoppolo, who was going to be, you know, their guy for the next 10 years. Well, he's hurt, and Solomon Thomas has not been the player. But I personally think that's the guy they wanted. And you know what? You can get all kinds of stories about, you know, people that say, oh, well, we were thinking about Trubisky, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, even immediately after the draft, everybody was kind of shaking their head saying, you know, he was a kid that you could have probably got, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, somewhere down there. But, you know, those big defensive linemen, man, they don't grow on trees. You got to find them. And if they want to have somebody on the other side to complement that Braxton Buckner.
Dave?
You think the Pro Bowl voters got it basically right as far as the Bears who were selected?
Yep. Yep, yep. And you know what? Danny Trevathan, he's played great. You know, the last 3 years, he has been super. But the good news is, hey, Mac was, hands down, Tariq Cohen, you know, everybody in the league knows about him. But for Akeem Hicks to finally make the Pro Bowl was the best part about this whole Pro Bowl story. He's really, really earned it. And we all know about Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox. They're big names, and everybody, you know, the cornerback in Seattle doesn't really know who Akeem Hicks, doesn't really care who Akeem Hicks is. But this year, Akeem has played so great, everybody now knows who he is, and that is great to hear. And hey, the secondary guys, Kyle Fuller, he has played amazing football. And a lot of times you get the big money, you see guys disappear. Not him. He's gotten better and better, and the pass rush has not only emboldened him, but Eddie Jackson, let's hope he's not hurt too badly. We will miss him Sunday, and that's another thing we're going to have to worry about.
Let me get greedy for a second because we're way late here, but Saints lose their last two. Bears win their last two. They both end with 12 wins. What's the tiebreaker, Dave? Do you know?
I believe the Saints would, in that scenario, still get it.
But okay.
I'm not.
So we're going to get at least.
I haven't looked past the Rams, to be honest.
My point is, we're going to get at least one home game. I was shooting for all of them.
Well, it'd be nice.
All right, predictions. Hamp, who you got? 49ers, Bears.
Close game. 10-9. Bears.
Wow. Interesting. John DeCuss.
14-14 tie.
Thanks, Mary.
Obviously channeling. Mary Vandeveld, you got a prediction for me?
Oh, I think the Bears are going to pull it off 2017.
And Dave Ennett?
I think it's going to be a little more lopsided. 31-17 Bears.
I'm going to go 107-0. Is that high? News.
There you go.
This Sunday, 1 to 3, a special pregame edition of The Three Wise Men. I think we should change the name of the show. And the Hall of Famer, Hamp. Merry Christmas to you, buddy.
Merry Christmas to each and every one and all the Bear fans. We finally have something to stick under a tree at the Division Championship.
Hey, by the way, I'm gonna have Dave Ennett call you later and leave disappointing game memories on your voicemail.
Yeah. Hamp, I'm glad I won't be here Sunday. It'd be a little boring.
Have a great Christmas. It's 7:56. Coming up in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is Dave Schwann after this.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
So yesterday, talking to Dean Richards, and Dean said, you know, all I want for Christmas is one thing. I just want people to enjoy their New Year's Eve. I want people to come out. I said, what about world peace? He said, I don't care about world peace.
Yeah.
So what about family happiness and togetherness? He said, I don't care about families.
Overrated. Never going to happen.
Yeah. He said, all I want is for people to come to the Tivoli and enjoy the show.
Yeah, but the problem with that is I have no idea how to get tickets for that. I've heard you talk about it, but the one thing I have not heard is if I wanted to come, where on this internet web-y thing that all the kids are talking about, how you would go about getting tickets for something like that.
Well, let's go live to John DeCoste. John, on any of the internets, all of them,
all of them
available.
All of them?
What do you need to do?
Actually, it's really simple. You go to eventbrite.com, B-R-I-T-E. Just click in on, just put in Steve Cochran, and boom, it comes up, and you can get your tickets to see Dean, Rocky Laporte, you, me, Tim Banker, the choir, Ross Cochran. It's going to be our best show ever. I don't want to
ruin a surprise, but Dean and I are going to recreate our ice dancing bronze medal performance.
Oh, my God.
Right. From the Sochi Games.
Slash dirty dancing routine. When Steve runs to me from one end of the auditorium to the other, and I catch him in my arms and hold him up in the air, you'll have the time of your lives, is all I can say.
And I will tell you what I will be doing after, because our show ends at 9.
Yeah.
We're 7 to 9.
Yeah.
After, I will be watching WGN-TV because there's a special Family Classics.
Are you doing double Family feature. Classics on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, double feature. Marx Brothers double feature.
Like the old days.
At 10:30. Horse Feathers and Duck Soup.
Ah, Horse Feathers. All right, now I know you have to do a TV hit here in a few minutes, so let's try to split this up, and you tell me anything I need to know in show business, and then we'll come back and ask you about a couple movies after you're done
with
TV.
Well, the only big entertainment story today is that Travis Scott is going to be joining Adam Levine for the Super Bowl halftime show. That is, wow, that's getting head shakes. No, people are thumbs downing it. Wow. Adam Levine, this has not been confirmed by the NFL yet, but sources in Hollywood tell us that Travis Scott's going to be joining Adam Levine, possibly Cardi B, possibly Big Boy from Outkast for the halftime show. But here's an interesting twist to this whole thing. Jay-Z is encouraging Travis Scott not to do the Super Bowl halftime show, boycotting the NFL for their treatment of Colin Kaepernick. A little side order of politics with your Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, Adam Levine has been pressured to do the same, right? Since he agreed to do it?
Everyone is being pressured. Mary J. Blige and Rihanna have already turned it down for that exact reason.
You know how the NFL fixes this? Dave, you know this. I'm right about this.
Mm-hmm.
Have Colin Kaepernick do the halftime show. Have Colin Kaepernick come in and be the halftime entertainment. Now, I don't know what he does.
Yeah,
I don't know if he sings.
I think that's a problem.
I'd rather have Up With People. Come on. Bring him back.
Wow.
Well, you know,
it's just going to be a rap fest.
Adam Levine doesn't rap, and Travis Scott's
the only one.
Travis Scott's really good.
He's a rapper.
He's really good.
I don't know. I'm not in it at all.
Well, you've crossed over. We have reached that point. There's an apex that goes on.
50.
and when Adam Levine is the old guy that we recognize in the Super Bowl entertainers, well, that's where we are.
Yeah, he's the Bob Hope in this Cowboys.
He already did a halftime show, didn't he?
Didn't Maroon 5 do a walk-on with somebody? I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be tough to ever top Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars is very true.
He's the best.
That is super true. He was one of the best of the best. So if we could take a break, and then we'll
go do your thing, and then as soon as you're done with TV, we'll come back with you.
I've got movie reviews, Mary Poppins, Aquaman, a lot of big holiday movies that are all opening today. I'll tell you all about those and more coming right up.
That's a professional broadcaster tease if I've ever heard one. By the way, Dean's on the phone today because he's doing his Annabelle Vall impression. He's out to, what was he doing, making pastries or something? Or is that code? I don't know. We'll find out. At 8:18, Dave Schwann's here at 8:30 with what?
Be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Let's go back to Dean now. Are you doing the Annabelle Vall thing today? Is that why you're out?
I am. Anna is headed home to Puerto Rico for the holidays, so I am.
Our green card finally expired?
After the Chopping Block, they have several locations around Chicago. This is like an all things culinary store and you know, cooking school. And we're cooking up holiday appetizers and ideas for the holidays. So
are you at the Lincoln Square? The Lincoln Square one, or where are you?
Yeah, Lincoln Square. It's 47 something North Lincoln Avenue right now.
Cooking class there.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do cooking classes. Yeah.
Yeah, we're cooking, and they're doing super fancy things. And so far, I've made Lipton instant onion dip. You know, the sour cream and the Lipton onion.
Oh, that stuff's good.
With get this, with bugles. I found bugles.
Wow, oh, you just mentioned bugles.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Take that. Take that, fancy chefs. And I also made my grandmother's three-ingredient pimento dip that was served at every single family occasion in our family. It's a block of cream cheese. It's a small jar of olives all chopped up and diced, and some pecans. You mix it all together, and you serve it with Ritz crackers.
What about that?
And, like, super delicious. I don't want to shade these Chopping Block people, but, you know, the stuff that we've got out on the table... My cheese dip and the onion dip is going like a madhouse.
Right.
Yeah, heck with the hummus. Get rid of that. Ugh.
Yeah, it's like I'm doing a demo at Costco. People are surrounding my area.
That's actually my slogan in life. Heck with the hummus.
Heck with the hummus. Is, yeah. That's going to be the new campaign slogan for some candidate in 2020.
All right, so movies. The Julie Andrews thing is finally over. She's not doing Mary Poppins anymore. I just heard.
Well, it's been 54 years, so yeah, she's not doing it anymore. But now playing Mary Poppins is the great Emily Blunt.
She is so good.
She is so good and can sing. The woman can sing. Lin-Manuel Miranda is not a chimney sweep like Dick Van Dyke was. He's a lamplighter in this movie. But the premise of Mary Poppins Returns is that the kids from the original movie are now grown up. They have kids of their own. And, you know, there's some problems in the family, so the magical nanny returns to help them with their problems. Now, I like this movie, but, you know, when I first came out of the movie, I was really conflicted about this because I have a lifelong affection for the original movie.
Yeah, sure.
And it's not fair to compare the new one to the old one. So if you can set aside your affection for the first movie and just judge this movie on its own, I think you're going to enjoy it. The performances are good. The story is nice. The singing and dancing is great. Angela Lansbury has a small role in it. Meryl Streep has a small role in it. But I'll tell you what, when Dick Van Dyke does his scene in this movie, and he's like, what, 92 years old or something like that now? He gets up on a desk and does a big song and dance number. He brings the house down.
I'll bet.
With this movie. The audience was cheering, standing and cheering when Dick Van Dyke showed up on the screen.
All right, so Angela Lansbury's in it, so obviously someone's murdered.
Somebody gets killed in the movie, and she has 1 hour to figure it all out. I gave it a Dean's List. I gave it a Dean's List B. So I think you'll enjoy it, and it's one the whole family can go to. Aquaman is the other big movie for this weekend with Jason Momoa. It's DC Comics, which does not have the best track record for action movie, comic book movies, but I think they kind of redeemed themselves with this one.
And how do we know Jason Momoa, mostly Game of Thrones?
Mostly Game of Thrones. He's been in some other films. He was in the remake of Conan the Barbarian.
His physique reminds me a lot of me.
Yeah. When I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, when I walked in the room, the first thing I said was, Steve, what are you? Oh, wait, it's not Steve.
I know last night at the gym when I was doing 10-pound curls, I thought, Jason Momoa, huh? Let's see if you can keep up with this.
Yeah, that would be a physical challenge for him to lift you and the 10-pound curls.
Right.
Any kid. The movie's fun. You know, you want to just have some comic book movie fun. They do a good job with it. The story's nice. The effects are beautiful. It's stunningly beautiful visually. And it's completely irreverent. It's very much irreverent, like a Marvel Comics movie. So I like this one, too. I gave this one a Dean's List B as well.
So does anybody fall in love with A Creature from the Sea? Or was that last year?
That was the last year, but plenty of aquatic characters do fall in love in this movie as well.
All right, so BBs.
But still not as creepy as the one from last year.
Good.
So we also have the Steve Carell movie that everyone is talking about. We had the best interview ever with Steve Carell earlier this week when I brought him food. That's online, and you can go take a look at that. But this movie, Welcome to Marwen, everyone is seeing the commercials going, I'm not sure if I want to see this movie. It looks weird. And when you go to this movie, about 40 minutes into this movie, I sat there and went, ooh, this movie is weird. But you got to stick with this movie to get its full impact. It's a true story about a guy who's a victim of a hate crime. He is beaten within about an inch of his life. He's left mentally handicapped. And the only way that he can deal with the real world is by creating this sort of alter ego community of little dolls that represent the people in his life. So it's the movie goes from doll world with amazing special effects to real world back and forth. And at first it's a little tricky to figure out why the dolls are doing this or that, or now wait a minute, are we back in real people world? But stay with the story, because it plays out in this beautiful emotional story of survival and dealing with the hand that is dealt to you. Steve Carell is so good in this movie. Janelle Monáe is in it. It's got all kinds of great stars, and directed by the very innovative Robert Zemeckis. Gave it a Dean's List B-. It's a little tricky to stick to the end with it, but if you do it, I think you're going to get paid off. There's a new Transformers movie this week. It's called Bumblebee. Not exactly, my genre of movie, as Transformers movies go. Better than most of them that we've had out, but I still felt like I was watching kids' TV when I watched it. I gave it a Dean's List C. And my real disappointment of this weekend is the new Jennifer Lopez movie, Second Act. It's a story about a woman who is assistant manager at a big box store. She goes for a promotion, is denied, fakes her resume, and sort of accidentally gets a huge job at a big cosmetics company. That plays out, but with all kinds of cliches and things that you've seen before, unnecessary subplots. But here, the biggest thing that bothered me about this movie, here's an opportunity to have a movie about a woman trying to make it on her own.
Right.
Not accepting what literally the man offers her, or life offers her, getting out, forging on her own. And it's all based on lies and deception. And it felt kind of icky to me. I know people may go see this movie and feel differently about it. I wound up giving it a Dean's List D.
Wow. Okay. And
I think people are going to go see it. If you like Jennifer Lopez, regardless, you're going to go see it.
And remind me on Vice. Did you review Vice yet?
I have not, because that's going to open on Christmas Day. But I'm going to wind up giving it a Dean's List A. I love the Vice.
Okay, good. Because I've heard mixed reviews on it as well.
Christian Bale is amazing. I think it's a really great movie. Not a serious political drama. It's actually kind of comedic. There's a humorous tone to the whole film, which I thought was really creative on the part of director Adam McKay. Also on Christmas Day, we're going to get a Ruth Bader Ginsburg story, which is fantastic. What else do we have opening on Christmas Day? I can't remember, Steve. I'm knee deep in cheese fondue right now.
Isn't that the Holmes and Watson one?
Holmes and Watson. Yes. Here's the reason I forgot about that, because they didn't screen it for the critics.
Oh no.
What does that mean when they don't screen it for the critics?
I had high hopes for that.
They're so proud they don't want to appear to be bragging about the movie.
Wow. Yeah, I had high hopes for that. I'll probably go see it anyway, even if I hate myself after.
I like John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell together, but studio says critics, you cannot see this ahead of time. So
yeah, it's not a good sign.
Whatever that means.
All right. Well, I'll obviously be talking to you and seeing you, but for the sake of the public, Merry Christmas, buddy.
My friend, Merry Christmas to you and John and Dave and Mary and David behind the scenes and Schwani in the newsroom this morning. I've been meaning to say hello to him all week.
He's still mad about the arrow.
Good. Good morning, Dean.
He's still mad about that?
Yeah, he's still mad about the arrow.
I survived. My head is in one piece.
Yeah, we're going to do it live in the studio again this week.
Oh, you're going to do a replay.
Right, right. It may even be more tricky. So, Schwani, I don't know, call in sick.
I'm fighting a cold right now. I might just do that. So.
All right, Dean, thanks. And get back to your fondue.
I'll see you guys next week.
Yes, you will. We'll see you at the Tivoli. Still to come, Ann Johnson's going to join us. We have Hawks tickets coming up on 720 WGN.
It's all cold down along the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk. Hey, man! You guys know what time of year it is? What time, huh? What? Oh, Christmas time. You guys all been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring your new saxophone, right? Everybody out there been good, but what? Oh, that's not many of you guys in trouble out here.
Bruce.
Yeah, you better watch out, you better not cry.
I think this might be it.
You better not bow, I'm telling you why.
This might be my number one.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
I like a little Nat King Cole.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Man, I like this. No, not for you?
Not for me.
Favorite Christmas song of all time, John DeCost. Musical director on the show.
I will take I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day by Bing Crosby.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Dave?
I got to admit it. I like All I Want for Christmas.
Is My Two Front Teeth?
No, the other one. Oh. Mariah Carey.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Look at you. Look at you. Mary Vandeveld, favorite Christmas song?
I like the Stevie Nicks Silent Night.
Oh, we got to get to that.
Yeah.
David Miranda, consider that a warning.
An Oh Holy Night sung by anybody with a big voice.
Yes.
You know, Josh Groban.
Good call.
Like anybody.
Can I tell you my favorite Christmas Eve thing is being in church, Silent Night plays, and everyone has a candle.
Yeah.
And you just pause and you look around. Sweet.
Yeah.
Until the wax drips down on your hand and you go, ow!
No longer silent.
Speaking of musical talent, Ann Johnsos,
theater
superstar from Yale, favorite Christmas song of all time?
I'm going to say Joy to the World.
By Three Dog Night?
Yes. You know, so it's ironic that you guys played the Springsteen one, because I think I still have the CD from the WGN library that I stole in 1996. With that song.
Oh, well, that's great. You know, the first step to a cure is admitting you have a problem there, Klepto.
It's true. It was an extra copy.
This is a nice transition to the fact that you are a wonderful mom, and you've written a book that's very funny about being a mom. What's it called?
Potty Mouthed, Big Thoughts from Little Brains.
Uh-huh. And your two girls are?
So we've got Sophia and Hannah. They are now 12 and 10, but when
that's,
I wrote it...
That's not possible.
I know, isn't it crazy?
You need to get IDs on these two. I'm not buying it.
Sophie's almost taller than I am.
It's nuts.
And they're in a band.
Yes, that's right, Mary. They play electric guitar and bass guitar.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Is that School of Rock thing? Is what we're talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Is so David Cassidy still singing lead?
We'll be playing cowbell.
David Cassidy's not in their band.
He's still singing lead for them?
No, David Cassidy's not in their
What's
band.
What's the name of the band?
Well, so they are, Sophie's in a band that originally they were called Unaccompanied Minors.
Steve was never in that one.
Yeah. So that was a good one. But now they've changed, they've grown up, so they want to be Neptune's Core, and nobody likes that.
What if they change it to My Mom Said I Can't Talk to You?
Exactly. And don't get in that big white van.
Stranger Danger, the band.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah? Potty mouthed. Every mom will identify with it. Every dad will laugh. And I think you ought to get it. Matter of fact, get three copies. One for you. One in case you lose it. And one for a friend.
Yeah, you're careless. You'll lose one for
that's
sure.
Sure. And how do you get it?
It's at Amazon. And I got to tell you, it's so embarrassing because Amazon is Amazon decides what the price is. And it started out as $19.95, which I thought, wow, that's a nice price. It's now $5.99.
That's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's been out for a while.
I know,
totally
but...
Is there still a chance it can go down?
I think so. Hold out for New Year's, and then I'll be by it Tivoli.
Get it today and get multiple copies. What are you doing for Christmas?
We will be, this is the first time ever, having it here in Chicago. My parents left Woodstock. So we are now, we're taking over. So
you're hosting.
Yeah.
Well, my best of the whole family. I'll talk to you before Christmas, but my best of the whole family. And let's pretend we never talk. Hey, Merry Christmas to you, and thank you for being on the program.
Hey, thanks. And a happy birthday to all your birthday people. And I'm going to go swing by the Lincoln Square chopping block and do something desperately bad to Dean.
That's a good call. Why don't you go in some sort of disguise and pretend you're holding the place up? No, that's a terrible idea. Kidding, of
yeah.
course.
Also, next time, can I be in the moron entertainment segment?
No, you're too smart for that. You went to Yale.
Well, I love you guys.
Love you back. Merry Christmas. Hold on.
Bye.
That's and that book's very funny. Potty mouth. So
it is funny. It's a good book.
Funny at $19.99. That's how funny that book is. Yeah. It's funny at $19.99. 8:50. What's coming up at 9? Well, actually, you know what, Dave Schwann? Before you do this, John, grab your Hawker riddle, and I mean that by grabbing your Hawker riddle.
By grabbing my Hawker riddle,
I have Hawks tickets to give away. Oh, you know what else we got to get to? We got to get to these crazy Christmas songs, celebrity Christmas songs.
I've got the riddle whenever you're.
Today's question. What? Today's question. Not the wrong piece of paper. I'm looking for the tickets I'm supposed to give away. You guys figure that out for me. Figure out what tickets I'm giving away. But anyway, give us the Hawker riddle. First correct answer wins Hawks tickets.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Before 2001, I was simply a trail. Then construction began to make me upscale. I am only South Bank and pedestrian pretty. Some call me the second lakefront of the city. Whoever writes these are very
brilliant.
They're just, and there's rhythm to them.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Give it to me again. I don't have it.
Before 2001, I was simply a trail.
Okay.
Then construction began to make me upscale.
All right.
I am only South Bank and pedestrian pretty. Some call me the second lakefront of the city.
Is it Daytona Beach?
It is not Daytona Beach. Close.
You should start rapping these.
She just talked about how you don't like rap.
Well, I like it with John.
Okay.
John
before 2000. I can't. Yeah, no, that's it. I was done.
All right. So first correct answer, 312-981-7200 is the number. At 8:51. Now, Dave, what's up at 9?
Is that you, Santa Claus?
That's great, too.
Gifts I'm preparing for some Christmas sharing, but I pause because
my grandmother used to sing this to me.
I can hear a knock.
Is
that you, Santa Claus?
That's great.
Sure is.
8:56. Give me the riddle one more time.
Sure. Before 2001, I was simply a trail. Then construction began to make me upscale. I am only South Bank and pedestrian pretty. Some call me the second lakefront of the city.
Let's go to Paul Tintera, I believe, in Algonquin. Is that right, Paul?
Yep.
All right, I got your last name right. Let me see if we can get the question right. What is the answer to the riddle?
Yes.
It is the Riverwalk.
That is correct. The Riverwalk. Congratulations. What game is he going to, John?
He is going to this Sunday, the Florida Panthers.
Oh, nice, Paul. And have fun, Paul. They're playing great.
Yes.
All right, good talk. Good talk. Hold on. That's Paul Tatary, one of the Hawks tickets. Good for him.
That's good.
6 o'clock game Sunday.
You know what? I really love those Sunday 5 o'clock games. Mm-hmm. Listen, I don't know how you people are out till 9 o'clock at night some nights.
This is good because the Bears game is late in the afternoon, so you got to watch that then.
Yeah, 6 o'clock is good. But I'm telling you, when the Hawks have a 5 o'clock Sunday game, I'll be there. They've had two or three this year. It's been perfect for me. I called the NHL office.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, you want me in the house? 5 o'clock games.
How's your request going for 2 o'clock weekday games?
I'm talking about that. I said, if we can get it. Actually, the best case scenario is Nooners.
Yeah.
They start at Nooner. I wrap up here, right, do a few things. I go straight over to the United Center. That'd be perfect for me.
So, I think for you, they would do it.
Yeah, possibly. I've even let my family and loved ones know if you have an emergency you need to tell me about, you got to tell me before 9 o'clock at night.
Yes.
You get those calls in the middle of the night?
That's actually true.
Please. At 8:57, what's coming up at 9? Well, David Schwann will have the news. He'll be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on the way on 720 WGN.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
As a shot comes over the studio.
Been hoping that you drop
so
in.
So very nice.
Just like
my mother will start to
Steve Martin, who's the female singer? I don't know, I'm just banning her. She's banned completely. They're both banned.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
I think it's Rita Rudner.
Oh, so this isn't Dean Martin, then.
Yeah, that doesn't. I was going to say, it didn't sound like the Dean Martin version.
It's Martina McBride and a guy who sounded like Dean Martin to me. Dean Martin and Martina McBride? Martina McBride been around long enough to sing with Dean Martin?
No.
No, they just always dub the voice in there.
Can you do that with that song? Sounds like they're singing all over. By the way, none of this is on the air. We're just, you know.
Yeah, right.
You seem to do that a lot with this song.
Yeah.
You know, putting old voices in.
Singing to a hologram, that kind of thing.
I say get rid of it.
But this is the one that was banned, right?
Yeah. Listen, we don't have time to get into it, right? But I'm telling you, you talk about a dumb controversy. I mean, the song came out in 1940, 41 or whatever. I'm sure you had stalkers in 1940 or 41, but don't we have bigger problems than that? I'm just asking. Maybe we don't. Check the list. My friend Lauren Cohn's here. I haven't seen you in forever. You look fabulous as always. How have you been?
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, and happy holidays to you. You look great.
Did you like what we did with the room for you? This view in?
I think this is gorgeous.
Isn't this crazy?
I mean, most people don't know because they just listen, really, that you have just this beautiful scenery looking at the lake,
right?
All the buildings.
It's nuts.
Yeah, the sun's not out, but it's beautiful, Steve.
In the summertime, when the sun comes up, Dave weeps a little.
I do. I really do.
Yeah. That's true.
And it's,
do you pull the shades, though, if there's too much sunlight coming
in? You have to, because it bounces off the back of my bald head and it throws off everything.
Yeah, we can't see a thing, Lauren.
Ships are known to beach themselves.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If I move my head, it looks like SOS. All right, so let's catch up with you for a second here.
There's a lot. You have a couple hours.
When last we knew... That bright, cheery young man, John Cass,
mm-hmm.
and you were hanging out at LS.
Yeah, that's right. That was a few years ago.
So what's happened
that
since?
They blew up the station.
Yes.
In my life, what's happened since?
Yeah.
Still filling in over at WLS.
Yeah.
Come on here with Justin when he had the download and making
a
review.
Sure.
Done some things over at WIND, so I'm still in radio.
Oh, you're all over the place.
I'm all over the place. I still write for Chicago Woman Magazine and a couple of other publications.
Well, good. And, well, it's nice to have you here.
Yeah, it's great to be here. So I'm still in the mix. Trying to be.
We were just talking about Elk Grove because Elk Grove has the big Elk Grove Village Bowl is tonight, Dave?
The Bahamas Bowl. The Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl is sponsored by Elk Grove Village. That's their slogan, Makers Wanted.
And our old friend David Knickerbocker was involved in getting that done.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. We got a couple things we're going to do this hour, Lauren, as you were nice enough to hang out with us. One is we're going to play some ridiculous celebrity Christmas songs.
I love that.
Yeah, and you've heard the Shatner stuff.
I love everything that Shatner does. He's the gift that keeps on giving.
He really
but
is.
But are you going to do any David Hasselhoff?
You know, I thought about it, but I heard the Hoff on something else this week, and I wanted to punch my radio.
It's true.
But David Hasselhoff, yeah, maybe. Yeah, since you asked, if you're requesting.
I just thought it would be fun.
Yeah,
just sure. Something to make fun of.
And also live in studio right now, our old friend Mark Mazremus and Michael Schindler are here. John, where are they from?
They are from the Tivoli Theater.
Hi, boys.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
We're good.
We're looking forward to New Year's Eve again.
I know. It's going to be special.
It's going to be fun.
Third year in a row.
3 years at the Tivoli. Our 18th year of doing New Year's Eve. You know, the work that I put in for the entertainment, you know, this is incredible. So it's Rocky Laporte. Now, have you guys seen Rocky Laporte do stand-up?
Yeah,
he's tremendous.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's tremendous.
He's a headliner.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Very funny. He's hysterical.
Multiple Leno appearances, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Buddies with Tim. It was very funny. John and I and Tim Benker.
Is our announcer.
And Dean Richards will be there.
Dean Richards this year, which is great.
Now, do you do a lot of prep for this, rehearsing, or is this...
John will tell you this. Because I only do 5 or 6 shows a year, I get really stressed out before
it's
the
true.
Show.
Really?
It's true.
Right. So what I'll do is I'll go through a period where I go, I got to get that started. I got to write this so I don't get stressed out about it. I got to do what I'm going to do.
And it's usually backstage right before we're announced.
Yeah, and my family moves out of the house. And
so what would be your stress reliever?
Yeah, just finishing. Yeah, just
being over.
The prep, it's ridiculous. And then I go on stage, I have a great time, and I go, why don't I do this more often?
Exactly.
But I stress hard about it. Yeah. So.
And as you know, we have the outgoing. We had Mark in May. He's retired now.
He's passing the baton.
Yes. To Michael Schindler, but Michael, you've been there about 8 years or something. Is that what you said?
Well, I've been with the company for like 19
years. 19 years. Yeah. There we go.
But I've been in the office for like 5 months.
Okay. And that company is what?
Classic Cinemas.
With how many locations?
14 locations.
14.
And some really movie palaces that the company's done.
Absolutely. Some historical theaters, not to mention that the Tivoli, the beautiful Tivoli Theater, will turn 90 on Christmas Day.
Oh, how about is that? Right? How about that?
Yeah.
We will have to acknowledge that during the show.
Dave, did you cover the opening? Was it Tivoli?
I missed it by about a week, Steve.
Okay.
I wanted to be there.
All right. I know GN was there. Last year we had kind of a collision because there was movie showing all over the place, but you've arranged it this year, which I think is brilliant.
Well,
you can go see Mary Poppins in the afternoon.
Yep.
And that'll be done by 4 o'clock.
Right. Michael Schindler set this up, so we have more time. And more importantly, the doors open at 6, but I don't think the weather should be a problem.
Looks,
as far
looks
as,
promising,
know,
but we never know.
It may be 90 on New Year's Eve, but last year we had an issue with people getting in, but they can, even if...
You will
keep
not
them
be
out,
in the lobby. Cold.
Yes,
you will not be in the cold this
right.
year.
Right. So the lobby is available, and this will be good.
How many fans did we lose last year? What did we lose, 10, 15 fans? They actually froze to death on the sidewalk?
There were 19 casualties.
And you rarely have a casualty count at a comedy show.
Yeah. That's not a good thing to... It's not a funny thing.
All right, so what do we do for tickets?
Real simple. Just go to eventbrite.com, B-R-I-T-E. Just put in Steve Cochran and it pops up. So, and you know, I've said this before, but you, even if you don't want to come out to the show, just come out to the Tivoli that night to see the theater, because it's what I love about it. You didn't break it up. It's a 1,000-seat old, 90 years old. When was it redone at some point?
Yeah, for its 75th birthday.
For its 75th.
Was it vaudeville originally?
Yes.
Because it had to be with that stage,
yeah,
right?
I think one time when Alan Alda was there, he said his dad had performed.
Wow, Robert Alda.
Robert Alda had performed on stage at the time.
Well, the train, the vaudeville theaters were all close to the trains.
Right.
So this is right next to the train.
Yep.
And the acts would come in. They'd do their 9 shows or some crazy number. And then they'd move on to another town. But the train line... Excuse me while I get emotional. The train line stopped at a number of major theaters around Chicago because this was a great vaudeville hit, right?
Yep. It's kind of ironic talking about Mary Poppins is that both Julie Andrews a couple of times and Dick Van Dyke once have appeared at the Tivoli Theater. I think Dick asked me...
Just recently, too, a year
Dick
ago
was there
or something.
A couple years ago and asked me, is this the spot that John DeCoste... was on. Am
See,
I in the
that
same
that. Yeah.
spot?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
All the legends want to go where you walked.
It's really sad. I have 2 new knees, and he still dances. He can move better than I can.
We're just talking about that.
93.
Lauren, we're just talking about that with Dean Richards. And apparently there's a scene in the new Mary Poppins. Have you seen it?
I haven't. Screener? I'm dying to see it, though.
Where Dick Van Dyke at 92 jumps up on a table.
You're kidding.
Right? Jumps, yeah. Didn't know what yes. he said? Jumps up on a table.
On the desk. He's, I think he's the bank manager or something.
Oh, he's up
like
on
that.
A desk.
Yeah. And dances.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I could do it with a spotter and a ladder.
Yes. Had he been drinking? Or?
No, I think he
how
just
he
jumped.
How was he able to do that?
I do not know.
What kind of...
But he stayed
taking?
Limber.
He must have a good diet.
Well, he actually does this... What is it? Movement or... he. Movement every day or something.
Yes.
You have to dance every day, and he does that. So he's a
when
a
he was live at the Tivoli, he was amazing.
He's a nice man.
Yeah, nice guy, and just full of so much energy.
Yeah,
you watch him, you feel
and life.
Tired.
Yeah. All right. So listen, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. You guys will tell us what else is going on with Classic Cinemas.
Sounds okay? good.
And Lauren and I will catch up some more, and then we got these songs we got to play. What else did I tell you? We're
bowl,
doing? Bowl,
bowl,
or bowl,
bowl or not a bowl.
Yeah, so here's what we'll do, Lauren. You and I will help the listeners win.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust me, it's the easiest game you've ever heard.
I want to tell you about my Survivor Hanukkah game that I play with my family.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, hold on. We'll do that in just a second, too. 921, and what's up at 930, Dave Schwann?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
925. Lauren Cohn's here. Nice to see Lauren anytime. And, okay, Survivor Hanukkah?
So this is so fun. So I grew up, I'm Jewish,
uh-huh.
but I grew up celebrating both Christmas and, you know, Hanukkah.
I think it's smart. You really maximize the holidays if you go with both.
Well, we had a Christmas tree with a Jewish star on top. A little confusing when you're a toddler. And then later my parents got divorced, so who knows what
right,
happened there.
Right, right, right. Also, yeah, by the way, that's how you get in the show business, that
exactly.
story.
So, and I have many more than that, but my mom was also the PR director for Macy's. So besides
okay.
being in the Thanksgiving Day parade every year, she loved all the, you know, festivities
sure.
around Christmas.
So, sure.
so we did that. So my niece and nephew, my sister here in Chicago with me, most of my family's on the East Coast, we are all Survivor fans. Love the show. I don't know if anybody here has seen the show.
Mary Vanderbilt, I believe I'm right about this, Mary. Mary has seen every episode since the beginning.
We're now sisters.
Yes,
because
I have.
So have I. I'm obsessed with Survivor.
Oh, you've never missed one either?
Never missed an episode. In fact, there was a period of my life where I wanted to be on Survivor. Even on the dating sites, my Match.com was Survivor fan.
Really?
Pretty much gave that away.
I want to try out, too. Let's not do
this. Yeah, you and Lauren can do it together.
So I thought, you know what? Hey, you know, you lose your job, which has happened if you're in broadcasting.
Sure.
You're not really in broadcasting if you haven't lost your
right.
job. Take yeah. the time and go on Survivor, right?
All right, so back this up for a second.
Okay.
So on the dating sites.
I'm going in seven directions.
What sort of response do you get if your Survivor hook is out there?
I really don't care other than your picture. You really get
yeah, that's true. That's
based
true.
On your picture.
That's true.
Let's just be shallow.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right.
That's the way it is.
All right, so Survivor Hanukkah.
So anyway, so years ago when my niece and nephew started really getting into the show, I started to play this game Survivor Hanukkah with them
mm-hmm.
where we basically go into teams and you have to remember like things that happened in Survivor's past or eat the gross stuff that they eat on Survivor. If you ever watch the show, they make these contestants eat bugs and
while you're all in
and like worms or slugs from like Fiji, you know, things that are indigenous of those islands that
sure,
they're on.
Sure.
Yeah, they don't do the bugs anymore. I miss the bugs.
I know, I agree with you, but I go out there and I try and find the grossest stuff for my family to eat. So that, you know, to see if they can compete, or you have to, you know, make them do challenges like standing on one foot for a
right.
long time or things
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
It's totally fun.
This is the best.
We give, you know, Jeffrey
Vanderbilt's going to move in with you.
Well, you're welcome to join it. We could do a whole thing with like everyone in town, make it a big, big festival. And so the fun thing is then he always says, Jeff Probst says, you know, you want to know what you're playing for. So then that's the exciting. Like, are we going to give you a reward? Are you going to get your Hanukkah present, part of your Hanukkah present, pull something out of the stocking because it's your Christmas present?
Wow.
And it's a lot of work.
It's like, you're putting together a Broadway play.
I put all this work into it, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's, and how good are you at Survivor Hanukkah?
I have never had to play because I always
run
the show. Yeah.
You're Jeff Probst. What's the nastiest thing that you, I don't even know if I want to ask this. What's the nastiest thing you made a family member eat?
So, if you don't like green drink or the mixtures of things that go into greens like vegetables with some other stuff thrown in it in the blender, I can make something that will really just ruffle your feathers, Steve.
Right.
I bet you it has kale in it.
Exactly. Making some of my family members who I know don't like that, chug it.
Oh, there you
so
go.
It's not just about drinking it, it's how fast you can drink it. not something fun like how many ho-hos can you down in like 10
sure,
seconds.
Sure. I think you
71.
You, that's the answer to the question. Yeah. You and Mary Vandeveld doing this on video would be very good.
I'm in. We're
me
in.
Me too.
Right? For
what
sure.
A blast.
Mark Mazremus is here, and Michael Schindler is, well, he's the new Mark at Classic Cinemas. What do you want to plug that's at Classic Cinemas all over?
Well, we've got Mary Poppins Returns playing at the Tivoli and every other theater in the chain, aside from one in Kankakee, but we've got it over at the Paramount.
What's wrong with Kankakee and Mary Poppins?
No, it's playing at the Paramount.
I thought maybe there'd been an incident.
No. But we're also showing, of course, all the other big holiday movies like Aquaman and Bumblebee and all those good things.
And you were talking about the Woodstock Theater, the big redo a couple of years ago. What's the public thought about that?
Oh, they love it. They love it. It's just such a great venue. I think it would be a fun place to do a little comedy show.
Christy and I went out to, she took photos and we saw, was it the Harold Ramis Theater? And it would be a nice, was it C300 or something like
yep.
that?
Yep. We've actually had Dean Richards out there.
Yeah.
Did a little spot.
He loves it.
He got lost on the way home or he came out on purpose?
He made it there. I don't know about the way home. I think he did. And I want to mention, we just, Classic Cinemas just remodeled the Ogden 6 in Naperville. Now wall-to-wall screens and those luxurious recliners there, and they redid the lobby, right, Mike?
Yep. So I didn't even know you guys owned that.
Yes.
So that's a recent run theater?
That is it was kind of a, I don't know what we'd call it. Old days, we used to call it sub-run. The Ogden would play movies late for like $4. Now we went first run with luxurious seating.
Oh, so that's
happened a couple months ago, right?
Yeah. All right, so you see all the new stuff there as well.
Right.
Couldn't be easier to get to that joint.
No.
Well, right look
on
at
Ogden
you guys.
Avenue.
It's amazing. Yeah. They're so good.
When are you starting a studio? An actual studio?
I don't know.
Michael Schindler, for New Year's Eve, is there anything special that we've asked for that's a pain in the behind?
No, you guys are an extremely easy group to deal with.
I can't tell you how happy I am that you're saying that. Please, I hope that's
not
true.
Exactly Jackson Brown in the loadout. We'll need microphones.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. We've got a lot of kind of cool events coming up at the Tivoli. Aside from Mary Poppins, you guys on December 31st.
Yeah, we're doing a New Year's Eve show.
And then just a month later on January 31st, we're going to have Richard Dreyfuss at the theater.
That's cool. Yeah. That's exciting.
Doing like a Q&A? What's he doing?
Yeah, he's going to do a...
What are you going to show? The Goodbye
Jaws
Girl?
Jaws a musical.
Jaws a musical. We're going to show Jaws, and I think his book is Jawing. He's promoting a book.
I don't know if he's promoting a book, but he's going to be there. He's going to be doing a...
Have you guys
Q&A
met him?
And I have not.
No.
Good luck.
Uh oh! Does that sound hot?
No. Listen. You'll have a good time with him because he's there for a reason. He can be a little cranky.
He's probably more mellow now.
Yeah. Well, so am I.
He can't be any worse than Gene Simmons. He's like on the top of heart.
Gene Simmons. I did some things on stage with Gene. Gene Simmons actually kissed me. I don't mean kiss the band. I mean kiss me. He's a big dude.
He is.
Can you describe that encounter?
Well, it was at a concert thing that we used to do, and not here. This is one of the other places I was thrown out of. And he didn't tell me. He thought it'd be funny. And it was. He grabbed me and dipped me and then put his hand over my mouth but bent over and looked like he had, tongue kissed me with the famous Gene Simmons tongue. So now the sad thing is he never called after that.
That's so typical.
Isn't it? Oh, that's how I felt.
Now you understand what women go through.
Exactly.
I love that about you.
Yeah, at least I was open to that, right? So, but Gene Simmons, Gene can be difficult.
You were an early Me Too then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
Long before it got important and serious. Yes. Yes. It's very true. All right. So for all things Classic Cinema, including New Year's Eve, you can obviously go to Eventbrite, but you link everything there as well. So where do we go?
Yeah, just classiccinemas.com.
And what are the name of the owners again, these lovely people?
Willis, Shirley, and Chris Johnson. All Johnsons.
They're great people.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Phenomenal.
The best.
Yeah. And employ a lot of local folks.
They do.
Yeah.
And they put a lot of money back into the theaters. That's the nicest thing with working with a company that reinvests in the theaters and care about the people, I think.
Yeah.
And have the best popcorn.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the Tivoli is, it opened 90 years ago, and you walk in there, and it looks just like it did 90 years ago, but with
beautiful theater.
Yeah, you know, but with nice
right.
seats and everything.
Right.
It's not, you know, run down at all. It's
no, it's beautiful.
So
top
beautiful.
Shelf.
I'm so happy you guys 3 years ago, Mark, said yes to this because we love being there and it's so much fun. It's a great place to be a part of.
Love having you, and I'm going to be there for this year.
Yes. Oh, good.
Yes.
We're going to do a tech rehearsal next Friday, and even though I know it'll go well, I like to get up on stage at some point and throw a tantrum. So just
will
to give you a
heads
up.
Will you record
that for us? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We'll put it on social.
But, I think I'll have Steve Margeson, our tech director, kiss you. He could do a Gene Smith.
Listen, I'm only loyal to Gene.
And you know Steve well enough now.
Yeah, great. Totally.
He's been kissed before.
Absolutely. So again, New Year's Eve, Eventbrite.com.
New Year's Eve, Eventbrite.com. Please come out and have one of our best shows ever with Steve, myself, Tim Banker, Dean Richards, and of course, Rocky LaPorte.
Oh, you know what we got to get? Because I think we should do a Q&A with Dean. We're rehearsing now on the air.
Yeah.
So show meeting. A couple of really pompous, overstuffed chairs that Dean and I could sit in for a Q&A.
Okay.
You know
all
what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. That's wow. Thanks for telling me a week in advance. I appreciate that. He just said we were easy, and then you blew it.
So, Walter E. Smith, are you listening? We need two
right.
really overstuffed chairs.
Yeah.
Michael Schindler, Mark Mazaremus, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
See
to
you guys
you.
In a week. And ClassicCinemas.com. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Lord, I was born a rambling
man. 947, Dave. This is another Christmas classic.
Oh, yeah.
The Allman Brothers. All right, David Miranda, why this one?
Because we're going to have a lot of Christmas songs in just a couple seconds.
So you wanted to break away.
Yes.
David Miranda and Ashley, by the way, doing a great job. David, you're sketchy, but we really like Ashley.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Ashley?
Yeah, we really like Ashley. No, you're doing a fine job, David, as well. How about a hand for David and Ashley getting
Thank
it done?
Thank you, guys. It's great.
A lot of
filling
pressure
in today.
It's
yes.
like a roller coaster ride in here.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
For us, too.
Yeah. And Lauren Cohn's here. You like Christmas music? Who doesn't?
I love Christmas music.
Okay, we have some really terrible Christmas music we'd like
Even
to play.
Even better.
And there's several here. Let's just go in order, if you would, please. Let's start with cut number one. These are the Warner Brothers stars doing We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Now, when you said the Warner Brothers stars, David, do you remember who's in this? No? No? Okay. Play a little of it for me.
Here we go. If it plays. Here it goes. Play. Oh! Now it is, now they don't want to sing.
Come on now. You tell me this is ready. Is it ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, try it one more time.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Where are you guys at?
You want to move on
they
to the second
great.
Cut? So far, this isn't working.
They're on strike.
All right, let's see.
Once in Royal David's City,
there you go.
This
is it.
Cattle shed, where a mother laid a baby in a manger for his bed.
Oh, I know who this is.
Mary.
Who is that?
Mother
it's
mild.
Roger Moore.
Jesus oh, it is Roger Moore. You're right.
This is yeah. Bond, 007.
Yeah, listen, this is what sounds like when James Bond does Christmas.
And his shelter was a stable. Cradle was a storm.
This is creepy, Steve.
And it does sound very Bond-like. Yes. Yes. All right.
Like Hannibal Lecter.
It just,
yeah.
Was not that's not the
it
sexy
really
side
does.
Of Roger
not,
Moore.
Not so much. Is he your favorite Bond?
No.
Who is?
Sean Connery. Come on.
Yeah, strong.
Hmm.
The new guy's great, right? David, not David. What's his name? The new Bond.
He doesn't do it for me.
What's his name? Why am I forgetting his name?
Yeah, why am I forgetting his name?
The guy in Casino Royale.
Yeah, that one. Lauren,
we're all forgetting his name.
Lauren, you sound like one of the old people here. Stop it. But anyway, he's good.
That's going to drive me crazy.
That guy.
I have to Google it.
That guy's good. All right, number two here. This is a great one. You listened to this Bonanza album last night, John?
I did.
This is a very Bonanza Christmas.
I just love the fact that somebody said, all right, I've got an idea. You guys, it'll sell millions.
Right. Daniel Craig just came.
Daniel
to me.
Craig, thank you.
Just
came
to me. Oh, I thought you were thinking of Idris Elba.
No, that would be the new one, right? That's
the
really new one. Christmas on the Ponderosa. Now, if you are over the age of 50, probably 55,
for a little more, yeah.
Because I'm 57, Dave. You're just over 57.
Yes,
John. You're just over 57.
Over 57, yeah.
Sunday night, Bonanza. Now, I don't remember the lineup specifically. Was it Disney, then Bonanza?
I think it was.
The Wonderful World of Disney. But then Ed Sullivan was starting over on CBS.
Yeah.
So that made it tough.
Was Bonanza up against Ed Sullivan?
I think Bonanza was after Ed Sullivan.
I think it was.
Ed Sullivan was first, 8 o'clock then, Eastern, yeah. And then Bonanza was at 9
o'clock. At least on the Dumont Network.
It was NBC, wasn't it?
In the three-channel universe, yeah, kids. This actually, is the choices we had.
We didn't have time zones then.
No,
they hadn't been invented yet.
That's true.
Whenever the sun came up.
All right, Christmas on a Ponderosa is the album. Which was your favorite that you listened to last night? Hoss.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
And what was Hoss doing?
I don't remember.
Well, play me a little something from
I don't remember.
Hey, Joe. Sounds like an Indian war party out there by the bar.
That's not a war party. It's a crowd of settlers with torches.
Hey, Paul, better get a rifle.
Huh? Well, not so fast, boss. Let me have a look.
There they are! Let them have it!
Merry Christmas, Arkwright!
Well, Merry Christmas, neighbors!
Fantastic.
Paul, better, great. That's the way to start off a Christmas album. Paul, better get a rifle.
Happy holidays.
Were you a fan of the Brady Bunch?
Of course.
Which Brady were you?
Which was I?
Yeah.
Marsha.
You were Marsha?
No, I mean, I probably went for one of the guys.
Yeah, but...
Come on, this is me, Steve.
Yeah, but listen, on the guy side, the pickings were slim.
Greg, Bobby...
And Peter.
That's right.
Yeah. I always saw myself, even at the age of 7 or 8, as more of a Sam the Butcher. from the Brady Bunch, Merry Christmas from the Brady Bunch, the first Noel. Let me hear it.
Noel, born is the King of Israel.
I think that line started the problems with the Jews and the Palestinians. That right there.
Paul, you better get a rifle.
The Partridge Family, and I think of my old pal Danny Bonaducci, the Partridge Family did a Christmas album as well.
But there's a song in there that I absolutely love. I started to sing it yesterday.
Partridge Family Christmas Card?
Yeah.
Did anybody not do a holiday album?
No, we're checking. We're trying to find somebody that was famous.
I think it was in everybody's contract that they had to do one.
Yeah, and they didn't get any extra money for it back then either.
Right.
Here's a Partridge Family Christmas Card. Listen.
All your family, your neighbors, and your friends. May all your days be happy with the joy that never ends. May peace and love surround you at Christmas time and all the whole year through.
How do you know this song?
I love that song.
Did you know before you did this?
No, it came out originally on their album. I had this album.
Oh, you had it.
I
have
the album.
You have all of them at home, don't you?
I do.
And they even have the harpsichord in it.
I'm so sorry.
Right? That was the Partridge Family hook. They all sounded like that harpsichord.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, riff.
That's right.
That was the fake keyboard.
Yes.
That
very good.
Played.
Andy Griffith makes a cut.
I know.
Really?
Andy Griffith doing Frosty's Winter Wonderland. Listen.
Supper time, Frosty. Mom wants us home.
Yep.
Good night, Frosty. See you tomorrow.
That's Opie. Yeah.
What's the matter, Frosty? Yep. Doesn't sound like you.
Well, it's just that every night when you go home and leave me, I miss you something awful.
Who's Goober? That voice?
Yes,
who's that voice?
But you can't come indoors with us.
Jackie Vernon.
Get him out, Frosty.
Really? Yeah.
I know. But when you're all together inside... And I'm all alone
outside.
I'm
sure Andy Griffith starts singing here soon.
I'm starting to
get
depressed.
Do we have no Andy Griffith? Is that literally the whole clip you pulled?
Oh, that's how that was in that link.
Trust me, the Andy Griffith part would have been really good. And let's jump to Shatner. Tell me when you're ready to play me a little Shatner, because this is a classic. William Shatner did an original Christmas album probably in the early 70s. I don't know if this is original or the follow-up, but the Shat Man is back.
I chose this.
And it's with mariachi.
Feliz Navidad!
Love it.
Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! Prospero Año!
Is he in his Star Trek outfit?
It's got to be.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad. 9:55 coming up in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. I think it's Steve. Is it Steve?
Yep. After that, Christmas is canceled this year.